I'm sure than this mic is, so bear with me. You guys can do better than that. Come on, let's give it up for everybody. If you feel like you're a part of change in America, get louder. If you feel like you're a part of change in North Georgia, get louder. So, I'm honored this past week to have been to have become the Democratic nominee for the Public Service Commission in Georgia. But more importantly than that, I'm the father of three black boys. And I live in Forsyth County, Georgia. And I was the first black person to ever run for office in Forsyth County, Georgia. And I wanna start off by telling you two dates. 1912 and 1987. Those are two dates that fundamentally changed Forsyth County, Georgia. In 1912, a white woman was raped and brutally attacked. And as a result, without a trial, without any real information or an opportunity for justice, the entire 1,100 population of Forsyth County, Georgia, of its black residents, was forcibly removed. Black folks that had built churches and homes and schools and places that meant a lot. And it wasn't until 1987 where a gentleman by the name of Hosea Williams marched with Coretta Scott King back to Forsyth County. Yeah, we can cheer for that. And I want to lay the foundation for where we are today, but I want you all to understand how important this moment in history is. I want all of us to know that with Rashard Brooks, who was killed in Atlanta on Friday, with Breonna Taylor, with George Floyd, with Ahmaud Arbery, these are just the newest lists added to a list of names that no one wants to be a part of. And I want you all to understand two things that I really drove all the way up here to say today. Number one is the tremendous responsibility that we all have and that we all share. John F. Kennedy once said, an error does not become a mistake until we refuse to correct it. So I want you all to understand, number one, the importance of North Georgia and the importance of the non-black community. Let me say that again. The importance of the non-black community raising their voices in this moment in history. Somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago, they said, if there was any time that you can compare this moment to, what would it be? And I said to them that this generation is our 1968. 2020 is a year that will go down as a transformative period in American history where we decided which side of the line we're gonna stand on. My dear sister mentioned 400 years. And I believe in my heart we have an opportunity to transition from that. So I want you to first know how appreciative I am, and I lost my sons. One of them is here, the other one's here, and my third one is sitting down here. So thank you on behalf of my family for finding it in your heart to stand up for justice and equity and for the lives of all folks, especially black and brown lives that are being shot down in the community every day. So here's my call to action and the tremendous opportunity that we all share. And that opportunity is that, in my opinion, what I want to see more than anything else as it relates to Georgia is I want North Georgia to be the epicenter of what this movement looks like. No longer can we just, and I want to be very clear as I say this. I met last week with the sheriff of Forsyth County, with the pastor of a very conservative church, and with a Republican, all white males. And they all said, Daniel, we want to be responsible for this time we're in. So one, I'm excited that transformative change is happening, but I want it to be contagious. There's another quote I always use that says that the true measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy. And all of you out here are following in the footsteps of Dr. King because you're standing in a moment where it hasn't been popular, it hasn't been easy, but what has happened is it's become a trend around the United States and around the world, in Paris, in London, in the United States, in Canada, all over the world. We're seeing these crowds join, we're seeing these crowds convene. So I want to leave you all with this very important message. I do not speak on behalf of the entirety of black America, nor do I speak on behalf of all black people around the world. My mother and father immigrated here from Barbados. So my parents didn't grow up in the American Civil Rights Movement. But what I can share with you all very sincerely is that black folks we're tired. In a sense where the rage, the anger, the frustration, the consistency, and more than anything else with our children, the desensitizing of a generation that has become used to seeing it. When I was growing up, I remember witnessing the Rodney King incident. I remember witnessing the Columbine shooting. And I remember the shock that came with seeing those two separate incidents. One, a school full of predominantly white kids being shot and massacred at school. The other one, a black man in Los Angeles clearly being brutalized by the police. And there was a time in our nation where those types of things, whether it was dogs attacking black men, women, and children on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, or it was times in the 1980s during the crack cocaine epidemic, this has been systemic. It didn't start with Trump. It won't end with Trump. It ends when we make up in our minds and our hearts that we're no longer going to be complicit in the injustices against people simply for the color of their skin. So, for all of you that are here, I hear people say all the time, especially my white brothers and sisters, that I'm not responsible for the sins of my fathers. I'm not responsible for the sins of my grandfathers or their fathers. But you are responsible for the futures of your sons and daughters. And while we may not be responsible for the decisions that were made that were not here, when you leave this space, you go to your dinner tables, you go to your neighborhoods, you go to your jobs, and it's your responsibility to take the messages you're hearing today, and I thank you for your love, for the song, and for the music. But after the music stops, after the signs go away, after the cameras are off, after the media is gone, the question I want you all to ask is, what are you doing when nobody else is watching? Are you in rooms? No, I don't want you to clap. I don't want you to clap because I don't believe we're in a celebratory moment. And I don't mean any disrespect by that. I want you to ask yourself a very serious question. What are you doing when nobody's watching? When your neighbors are saying things that you know are racially insensitive? When your children are sharing things on their phones that can come off as biased or culturally insensitive, when you clearly see racist things happening at your jobs or with policies that are written. I didn't have to come here, but I want to be here. And I want all of you to want to see this country become what we know it can be and not what a few bad apples and some folks that want to hold on to the past. We're not going to allow them to hijack the future that we all fought, bled, and died for. I want to thank you so much. God bless you. And I will continue to be here. If you call me, I will come. But when we call you, we need you to come down south as well. God bless you guys. And I love you.